Well, we have the Word of God to read this morning, and I invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We've been dwelling on this passage for several weeks now, looking at what are the marks of a true church. If you're looking for a place to belong, a church family, you are wanting to look for these following signs. Some of them are to be devoted to evangelism, we call that. If I could have slide one there. So, to be devoted to evangelism. In other words, if Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life, don't keep it to yourself. Tell others what the Lord is doing in your life. And I think those of you who are in Christ, those of us who are in, we know that this is both natural and very challenging. Also, to be devoted to God's Word. Everything that we do, the teaching of the apostles and the prophets in the Old and New Testament, we need to not only take it into our minds, but to make it part of who we are. Devoted to the sacraments, we see the signs and seals this morning. It's really not about an individual and her a great day. This morning, we celebrate Alicia and pray that God will continue to bless and strengthen her, but baptism is pointing to what Jesus Christ has done for her. Churches need to be committed to that. Devoted to prayer, praying for each other, praying to God for his kingdom to come, praying for one another on the way. And devoted to fellowship. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about what kind of a member are you? What kind of a relationship are you in? And we commended you to be those that took full part in the life of Christ. And today we're going to just do a little summary of that. I'm going to speak not only to Abby and Adriana, but to all of us in our faith. So let's visit these scripture passages again. It says in Acts 2, 41 through 47, those who accepted Jesus' message spoken by Peter, they were cut to the heart and they were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they have need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, if you'll turn a couple of chapters to Acts 4, 32 through 37, another summary statement of what was going on in the life of the fellowship, things that we can pick up on. Beginning at verse 32, the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possession was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as they had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, Adriana and Abigail, you have come to this day. You stood in the presence of God and his people, and you were standing proud and tall to say that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And we witnessed that. We heard your words. We could remember our own times. It was 42 years ago that I stood where you were on October 31, and I stood in front of my congregation, and I said, I love Jesus Christ. I had no idea what my life would turn out. That time, I would have been terrified to know that I'd be standing in front of the congregation as a pastor. He doesn't reveal all of that to us at once. But I'll testify, and I will say this, I think I can speak to anybody who has walked with Jesus Christ through the years, that the decision you made today, stick with it, you will never, ever regret it. Does that mean your life is going to be easy? No. No. In fact, as John so beautifully pointed out, it's going to be hard. It's hard not to live in the world and not somehow be captured by that. But I don't think we have to fear what the future has. 42 years from now, do the math, and where will you be standing? We don't know. But God, who has brought you to this point, will lead you through and continue to lead us every step of the way. You are a member. You are a member. You have always been in the sight of God a member, because he has chosen you and those who are in him before the foundations of the world. He knew the story of your life. He's not surprised by the things that surprise us. He's not disappointed when we are disappointed in the same way. You are a member, and I think that's just a very interesting word. What does it mean to be a member? The suffix of the word, that word ship, usually means having the position of, or being in the state of, or belonging to the category of whatever it is that it precedes. So, for example, a dealership. We've been visiting dealerships lately because we need to buy a vehicle. So we go to a dealership. And the dealer that we go to has the right to deal in cars. It's their possession. It's their exclusive right. They're not selling you Avon products or anything else. They're selling you cars, and that's what they belong to. When you join this fellowship, you become a member. You are part of whatever is going on there. You are part of this body. You and I are individuals, to be sure. I want to highlight that. I say all of us come in different shapes and sizes, but we all have shapes and sizes. If I could have the up there, I'll show you what I mean. We have spiritual gifts. We have things that God has wired us that are unique to each one of us that we celebrate. And it's amazing to me how you get all different people together and how God gives some the ability to lead, others to serve in different ways. But he never leaves his church without a witness. He's given us certain passion. There's things that we love. You don't know always, why do I love doing what I do? I don't know, but it's a passion that I have. And that comes from God. It's burning within. That's part of what you bring to the table. Our abilities, we're good at doing some things. And again, those gifts and abilities are given to us by God. We have a personality. Some are introverts, some are extroverts. And some of us are good at one thing and another. We have different personalities that we bring to the table, and we have experiences. All of us have a story to tell. Some are good things that happen in our life. We love telling those stories, and others are painful things. As I see a sea of faces here and know of stories through the years of people's lives, we all are going through things. We have a story to tell and experiences. If those experiences don't lead us to despair, they certainly will lead us to be stronger because of that. And sometimes, like exercising a muscle, you need to really have pain in your life to get stronger in those areas. And by God's grace, that we come. But as I say that today, I'm not saying that it's just about us. In fact, everything, our shape that we bring to the church is something that God uses for his honor and glory. That's why we spend so much time talking about what are the marks of the church. And all of who we are point to Jesus Christ. Paul describes the body in terms of the body of Christ in terms of the anatomy of humans. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, he notes that just as a body, though one has many parts, all of its parts form one body. So it is with Christ, because we are all baptized by one Spirit so that we can form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. In other words, we all have something to play in Jesus Christ, and he is our head. When the body is working well, it is a beautiful thing. It is heaven on earth, really. And when it's not working well, when there's dysfunction and division in the midst, it's not a heavenly thing. It's quite the opposite. It's discouraging. It's heart-rending. And so when we say we're part of the body by God's grace, we want to move in that direction where we see that it's a beautiful thing to belong to the body of Jesus Christ. What does that look like? Just that simple word, devotion. Devotion at the beginning of Acts 2:42, those who came to the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of the bread, to prayer, to fellowship, to sacraments, to encouraging one another, to serving one another. We devote ourselves to that. That word devote is a strong word. It's like a soldier, Luke, who wrote this book of Acts. Later on in 10 verses 7, he says, he's describing a soldier who attended Cornelius. He calls him a devout soldier. Military officers often had soldiers that accompanied them. They were right there with them. It's sort of like the president's detail, their security. They're willing to take a bullet for the sake of their commanding officer. Their one job is just to do what that officer commands. You might say the strong sense of this word is that they were glued to that officer. Sinclair Ferguson says he had seen this verb translated addicted to, which helps us to sense how completely absorbing it is to be devoted to these things. So what do we do? What does that look like? Well, I'm just going to highlight two things. Love God's word. Love God's word more than anything else in your life. I don't honestly know your heart. I can't always see the hearts of people. What we say here as we make vows before the Lord isn't always reflective of really how we're living our life. So I don't know your hearts. The easy part is really behind us now. We made the vows. We're ready to take the next step, and we're here today. But now we must continue to work out what God has worked in. And that's where I want to challenge you, Adriana and Abby. I want you to just lean into that. Love God's word more than anything else. Get that into your mind, but not just let it settle up here, but get to know the word of God so well that it becomes a part of how you live your life every day. Cultivate it. Bring it into effect. Pursue the word of God. That's one side of it. Love God's word more than anything else in life. That's what Jesus prayed for in Acts 17, or John 17. He said, I pray, Lord, for those who follow him, sanctify them by your truth, and then your word is the truth. That's what Paul writes. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. The world is trying to squeeze us into our mold. It does get into us. You cannot live in a polluted environment without somehow having the effects of that be upon you. But How do we rectify that? I'd say Colossians is a good remedy for that. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. That's why it's so important that we not just go through the Sunday school programs to the day of our graduation and then leave it all behind us, but all of us need to be seeking opportunities to know the Word of God better. Not so that we can be walking encyclopedias, but so that we can also go out and just live what God is working in our hearts. What will the church do for you? I'm just going to say this briefly. It's going to be an assurance to you that you are a member of Jesus Christ. You're a fellow believer. You have a spiritual church family around you to support you and encourage you. If you are not feeling encouraged, if you are isolated, if maybe you say, like, I have no friends in the church, talk to me. Talk to somebody. This is part of being in the body of Christ. We are a church family. And especially in a society in which families are all over the United States, it really is a powerful witness when we support and encourage each other just like a family does. We are the family of Christ. It gives us a place to discover and use our ministry. I know some of you have been in the nursery. Some of you have been singing on praise teams. Some of you have been taking leadership roles, speaking here and there. You have an opportunity to be a part of growing and discovering your gifts, and the church is a beautiful place for that. It also gives us a spiritual oversight. Here's a challenge for all of us, because in the spring and in the fall, we say we're going to do family visits. And it should be not only that we ask and say demand, we want those visits with you. We want to see where you're at, how we can walk with you, what's going on in your life, what are you doing better. That's just one half-hour meeting, but it's an important meeting. So sign up for that. If you have not heard from your elder or deacon in a while, I encourage you, look them up and maybe pray for them as you're having your daily family devotions, because they need you just as much as you and I need them. It gives us accountability that we need to thrive as a family. I envision a scenario in a church that we know each other so well, we accept each other, we love each other, but we also know each other so well that I can say, hey, I see that you seem to be having a bad week today. How can I encourage you? Can we do that even more? Well, if we say, what can the church do for us? What can you do for the church? That's the second part of that. How about just a very simple word for that? What can I do for the church? I'm just taking this one scenario. This is for all of us. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they have. You have something that you can use to encourage the church. Use it. Use it. I think in my mind, we always think of those formal positions. Well, I can be a teacher. Yeah, that's one of it. But you also can just show up and encourage somebody. You can pray for those that are having a difficult time. You will not believe how the Lord uses you just by showing up and say, well, what do I have that I can share? Well, I'm a happy person. I can share my happiness with others. Not in a mean way, you know, just like, oh, you're feeling bad and I'm going to make you happy. No, just to come alongside somebody. What do you have that you can share with others? Think about that. And then in the end, the results, we see that loud and clear in this passage. What does God do through us? God adds to our number daily those who are being saved. God fills people with awe at his wonders. When they see how we love one another, it will be broadcast to the world. God enables his people to share He gives us the words to say. And how do I know that? Because he fills us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead and direct us into our service. And his grace works powerfully in us all. In us all. God meets all of our needs. These are all just little glimpses. So much will happen in the context of this church. So the challenge today for all of us, remember our baptism. Remember that it's not really about you. Get away from this idea that it's all about me. No, it's really about others. And how can I be walking with others in this journey of life? That is what a member is. May God help us to become that member more and more. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, give us the strength to live out the message we have heard today. Oh Lord, we give you our very lives. May our heart, our mind, and all of our desires, our passions be yours. May our hands and our feet and our voices move as you would choose. May our moments and all of our days flow in endless praise to the glory of your great name. Thank you for this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's say thank you to God in the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Today we are going to be receiving an offering for Veterans Outreach. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and it's the 11th day of the 11th month, the 11th hour. That's when Germany and the Allied nations signed an armistice. And in 1919, Wilson was part of that, and today we are preparing to worship. We express our gratitude to all who have served in the military. Is there anybody who has served in the military with us today? Would you stand? And if there's anybody who has a family member, a parent, or a grandparent who has served in the military, would you stand today also? We thank God for the freedoms that were won through their sacrifice. Thank you so very much. We praise God for you and for your service. Amen? Amen. Let's say thank you to God. As we receive our offering.